On present times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and adhere to the new guidelines with regard to conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item is ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item that you use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose the same item the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as a seconder. And with a bit of grace from everybody, I'm sure, and a bit of patience, we'll be able to get through this. So, apologies on the chairman's remarks. So that's any apologies, Sarah? No? No apologies?
No, none recorded.
Okay. Any declarations of interest to be noted? No. No declarations of interest. Okay. So item number three is to agree start times for ERT committee meetings from June to April. I would just like to propose that we move from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Is that okay with everybody?
Okay. So, Councillor Clark has proposed.
Will he be let in?
I second that.
The second to the 6 o'clock start, Councillor Clark?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Are we okay to move on? Everyone content to move on before I...
Do we not need to put it to a vote, Chair?
Does it need to go to a vote, Sarah?
Yeah, if not everybody's in agreement, then yes, it would have to go to a vote.
Okay. So, do we need to take a vote then? Glenn, are you not content to move it to 6?
I would be happier with it at 5. I would propose 5.
All right. Well, put it to a vote then.
I think we need
it hasn't got a seconder. No seconder.
No seconder. All right. That's fine.
So then you would need to put your proposal then to a vote. To move it to 6 o'clock.
Okay.
The chair of the
Mr. Councillor Clark, did you second that proposal to move it, or did you propose it to move it to 6? Is that okay? Or
yeah.
Can someone else second? Is anyone else content to second?
So Councillor Savage seconded it.
Okay. So what's the procedure now then?
So then if you ask everybody that is for the vote, if they type in for in the instant message, if you ask for that first.
Okay, so if everybody could type in for who is for it,
Is this for 6 o'clock, Chairman?
Yeah.
And where do you... For... How...
It's F-O-R.
That's me. Vote it.
Vote early, vote often.
Okay, so we have 10-4.
Who was against it? Big Hannah, I suppose.
So if you just ask for the those against then to type.
If those are for against, could type against, please, Chair. Or please.
Okay, so we have one against, so that's 10 for the proposal to move to 6 o'clock and one against the proposal. So the proposal is carried. Sorry, you need to call for abstentions, sorry.
Sorry, what's that, Sarah?
If you ask for any abstentions.
Any abstentions?
Sarah, I've only clued into you now, so what's the vote on? Remember I told you I couldn't get in there earlier on and I'm only got connected up there now. So what am I voting for or what am I voting against?
Okay.
Vote's taken, Chairman.
Okay, right, well, that's okay.
It was to move the committee to 6 p.m.
I'd go for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you could type in 4, if that's all right then, and then we'll move on, Sarah.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone content to move on?
Yep.
Okay. So item number six is Castle Whelan.
We need to go back to item number four.
Item number four?
The emergency business plan.
Apologies.
Right. Thanks, Chair. I'll take that. The report before you under agenda item number four is the paper on the emergency business plan for the ERT Directorate. The purpose of the report is to seek approval from the committee for the Directorate Emergency Business Plan for the period of April to September 2020. The emergency plans, these emergency business plans are flexible and dynamic and will be reviewed and updated on a regular basis as things change and lockdown restrictions are eased over the period of the report. The business plans outline the key challenges and opportunities as a result of COVID-19 across the district, looks at our stakeholder needs while managing expectations, and manages our risks going forward. So as set out in section 3.1 of the report, the recommendation is that the committee considers and agrees the emergency business plan for the period of April to September 2020. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. Let's see, Councillor Savage, you have a question?
Yes, Connor, thanks very much for a very detailed report. I'm just looking at, have we seen a significant change, for example, in work practices in relation to working from home? And how would you see working from home has been a key component going forward. Is it something that we're very much planning for, or do you see it as a short-term measure, or is it something that we can work towards over the long term, with as people refer to the new normal? It's just really to get your initial thoughts on that. Having read the document, I think it's very detailed. It is obviously going to have to be flexible because we've no crystal ball. But what I would ask is really, you know, going beyond the September term, do you see a lot of the measures we are looking at here, including potentially working from home, been something that will stay with us longer?
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. I come back on that. Yes, I think the flexibility that we now have as a result of having the ability to work from home is going to be key in both the short term and the long term. There's advantages and disadvantages of working from home, but I think the fact that we have the ability to work from home and continue to deliver normal business has been key to the success of delivering for our ratepayers over the last 3 months. I would say that working from home is something that will probably remain. To what degree it remains will have to be subject to how work practices change and how we change and adapt as a council over the next 6, 12, 18 months. But I think having the ability now for a significant number of our officers to work from home, I think is key, and we're in a very, very strong place as a result.
Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Chair.
I've no indication of anybody else looking in for a question, so I'm just going to take it. Councillor Riley?
I just want to know, what are the actual financial implications with the emergency business plan? I know that our income is very badly down because of leisure centres and tennis courts and everything being closed, but I couldn't actually find that on the report, Connor.
Thanks, Councillor. Chair, if I can come back on that. There's a separate report that will be presented to the SPNR committee this week with respect to the financial position of council as a result of COVID-19, and that detail will be provided to that committee on Thursday night, which will look across all directorates within the council.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. So happy to move on with Councillor Hannah proposing and Councillor Stokes seconding.
And again, I propose, Chair, that we accept the officer's recommendation.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Hannah. And thank you, Mr. Mallon, for the detailed report. So now moving on. Are we happy enough to move on?
Can we confirm that Councillor Stokes is happy to second?
Councillor Stokes?
Yes, Chair, that's fine. Yep. Very detailed report.
Okay. So moving on then to item number 5, which is the action sheet from the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting Monday the 9th of March.
But I'd go through it on page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6 and page 7. Are there any issues?
Okay. So
a proposer and a seconder?
I'm going to take in Councillor Tinley first. Councillor Tinley has indicated he wants to ask a question. Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chairman. Page 5 is in relation to the international relations strategy, specifically with Southern Pines and Kirosk. Now, that meeting, as indicated there, took place in February. So could we just get an update? Both those areas are both those places that we had an understanding with, or a twinning arrangement, were to be notified of what the new strategy proposes were going to be. So could I just get an update, Chairman, as to what has happened in that regard since February? Because particularly the Southern Pines one, Chairman, it caused quite a bit of consternation on the other side of the Atlantic. And I would just hope that relationship can be resurrected even at this stage. So just give an update as to what has happened since February, please.
If I can come in on that, Chair, thanks. There has been ongoing communications back and forward with the people in Southern Pines, with a view to the arrangement, and there has been sharing of information, and that's ongoing, and we hope to pick up with them again. I think the last communication was around the time that COVID or post-COVID kicking in, and there was an acknowledgement from both parties that it would impact the ability to progress anything this year, but it's still something that we're looking to progress, and we'll pick up again once we get out the other side of the summer. So if that can be some reassurance to you, Councillor.
Yeah, all right, Connor, thank you.
Okay, and Councillor McAteer has indicated...
Yeah. Yes,
Councillor McAteer.
If I recall the last meeting, there was to be exploratory talks with the Southern Pines folk in terms of exchanging our strategies and our business strategies, I think, with them, and to see where they matched. So maybe you could elaborate a wee bit more on that, Connor, how or did that fall straight into the water? Was the COVID?
No, they're aware of what the criteria is within the new strategy, so that they have been made aware of that through various outlets. So that they are aware of what the criteria is.
And there was no more communication back then in response to that?
And them saying that there has been communication back and forward, but whenever COVID hit, it was it has slowed off somewhat, but there still has been some communication. But, you know, it's the communication lines are still open.
Aye. Well, so therefore then, why is the, well, I presume it is, isn't it, the recommendation, or is there a recommendation to not renew it until the further proposal is submitted? No?
Yeah, the what happened was the original agreement was assessed against the new strategy, and it was on assessment against the new strategy, it was found that it didn't meet the criteria. Now, that did not prevent the group from submitting a new proposal, which is what the discussions will be about, a new proposal as opposed to the old agreement, which the old agreement didn't meet the strategy. So that's what the discussions are around.
Well, so therefore then we need to be careful the way we're wording this, because we're saying here that the relationship will not be renewed until the further proposal is submitted and assessed.
That's the existing arrangement that expired. That had expired. We're not ruling out any new arrangement.
Okay. So therefore, Chair, could we just make sure to insert that discussions are ongoing, and it seems that they've stalled basically during this crisis, and they will be renewed then, presumably, at the earliest possible time.
Could you make
sure that's included in the minutes and the actions progress?
Yeah, but this is the action sheet from the last ERT.
Yes, I know, but I'm just saying, just to put this on the action sheet for the next meeting, that is quite clear and unambiguous that we haven't actually, you know, ended the relationship. It's only just that the renewal date is up.
Mr. Mallon, are you content that goes in?
Yeah, something that we are working on anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Just make clear.
I'm going to take Councillor Hannah in next, just to whether Councillor Tinley has already been in. But tonight, have you been in this item, Jarlath, yet? You have, haven't you, Councillor Tinley?
Chairman, listen, if you will indulge me just for a second.
Well, I'm going to let Councillor Hannah in first, just because you've been in just once before. So, Councillor Hannah.
Just a question for Connor. SLAs, where are we at with them just at the moment, Connor? Because I know there's different SLA are people depending on them there. Just could you give us an update on where we're at with them?
Again, the SLAs will form part and parcel of a package to SPNR on Thursday night. And we're working with every partner that we have an SLA with to try and understand how they can still deliver their objectives against their SLAs. No final decision has been made either way on SLAs, but again, it's formed part of that financial paper that will go to SPNR on Thursday night. But it's something that we're working on at the moment, and we continue to work with our partners. So again, it's really just the action sheet is what we're discussing here at the moment. So I don't want to get into detail on items that aren't on the agenda. So focus on the agenda and the previous meeting.
It's on the action sheet, Connor.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So, okay. Conor Stanley, if you do keep it brief, sorry, because we have kept you in, we do want to keep things moving, and it's a bit of an awkward in the form.
I just wanted to hopefully get Conor to confirm. At the last International Relations Forum, the arrangement with Kairos and Southern Pines had already expired. It had already expired, so for us to lift the baton again, you're talking about a new arrangement. Is that my understanding? That that's correct, Connor, isn't it?
The date has passed that they've expired yet.
Okay, so I'm going to take it that Councillor Clark is willing to propose. Councillor Clark, can you propose, please?
Yeah, I propose we accept.
Councillor Hoyle, are you happy to come in second?
Yeah, I'm happy to second.
Okay, thank you. So moving on to item number 6, which is the Castle Wallen Forest Park Task and Finish Group. And if I just, I think it is J- Jonathan, Mr. McGilley, taking this?
Yeah. Chairman, yes, you have the report there in front of you. It's details, I suppose, of work that has been ongoing in relation to the Castle Island project, both by way of the DARA element of the project and the National Lottery Heritage Fund element of the project. So it gives a fairly detailed update there on where we are with both of those aspects of work. And then there's a number of recommendations arising from the task force in relation to both projects in terms of revisiting costs, submission date around the September 2020, and obviously then the other recommendations arising from the task and finish board chairman. So we'd recommend that those be adopted by the committee.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley, for the report, and I know that it's been a difficult time in that regard. I think looking here, Councillor Hoyle, are you happy to propose? Could you just propose?
Yeah, happy to propose.
Thank you. And Councillor Hannah, are you content to second?
Yeah, I'm happy to second that there, Sharon.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Okay, moving on to item number 7, which is...
If you just check that everybody's in agreement.
Is everyone in agreement? There's no other questions coming up. Everyone's in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. Are we content to move on then, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So item number seven is Warren Point Park. And again... this goes to Mr. McGilley. Thank you.
Yeah. So again, Chairman, reports there which details the work that's been ongoing in relation to Warren Point Park. Again, I heard it's a refunded project. Capital works are complete. Bit of detail there around how COVID has impacted the property on some of the education and the heritage aspects of the project, Chairman. However, we've detailed a number of recommendations around keeping moving in terms of developing education packs that could be used by schools, and also the art proposal, and chairman a recommendation around the midterm and final evaluations that need to be completed and procurement that's required, chairman. So reports there for you to that with the detail, and the recommendations are recommend that the committee adopt those, chairman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McGilley. Looking at this, Councillor Rhiann, are you happy to propose?
Yeah, I'll propose, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rhiann. And Councillor McAteer, you're in here to second.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm assuming nobody has any questions. Nothing's come up on the message that I can see. So are we content to move on? Is everyone in agreement? Yeah, okay. Happy to move on then. Okay, item number 8 is the Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty Management Review and Geopark. And again, this is gone to Mr. McGilley. Over to you, Mr. McGilley.
Yeah, Chairman, yes, the report there details progress against work in relation to the AOMB Environment Project, the Ringogullion Landscape Legacy Scheme, the Atlantic Culturescapes Project, and the Geopark, detailing progress against each of those elements of work. We've also appended, Chairman, the AOMB Management Review that has been agreed by both the South Armagh and the Strangford Loch Kale Partnerships, Chairman, and makes a series of recommendations which are attached in the appendix. We would recommend that you note the update report and approve the management review that has been appended, Chairman.
Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Coming in first is Councillor Mulgrew with a question, and then I'm going to take in, I assume Mr. Riley, Councillor Riley is indicating to speak, but if you could use the messenger, Councillor Riley, it makes it easier for me to follow you. So, Councillor Mulgrew, please.
Thank you. Okay, sorry. Thank you, Chair. It's a comment as much as a question. I just wanted to say that I'm sort of disappointed that the Farmers Union have been so negative in terms of the geopark. I know a number of members of the farming community who are actually delighted to have any opportunity that will promote areas of outstanding natural beauty and perhaps lead to the potential for them to diversify. I know the council has done a lot in terms of engaging with all sorts of groups and to try and put the farming community's mind at ease, that the geopark in particular will not affect issues such as planning. And I just wanted noted, you know, that basically, it's something we need to carry on doing, but I also acknowledge the work done to date. And I think this is a really, really good initiative for our entire district. And I was happy to propose the recommendations to Chair, if you wish to do that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. I'm just going to take the question from Councillor Riley, and then I'll get the question of Councillor Clark. So, Councillor Riley, thank you.
thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I actually emailed the Chief Executive regarding the AOMB and Geopark proposals and suggested some overarching management body because we're promoting the Mourns quite heavily as a tourist destination, but the amount of aggravation and trouble that visitors coming and abandoning cars and using private property to go to the toilet and that type of thing, we really do need to get on top of this. And that's why the management structure and that, there's no real body to it, there's no real executive power connected to it, that we, whereby it could take decisions. Now, we want to avoid the sort of national park scenario where you've got a small number of people unaccountable. If the management body should, between the geopark and the AOMB should have some sort of stakeholder input from the local farming community, from tourist providers, whatever. And that's what I don't see in the proposals, Jonathan. But generally in favour, but we need to get something to actually manage the Mourns area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. I certainly agree with some of the points regarding how to manage some of the tourist hotspots. Councillor Clark, are you coming with a question? Councillor Clark.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, I agree with what Councillor Riley's saying about the tourism hotspots and that. And there's going to have to be considerable work done in, to improve the sustainable tourism. If we're looking at, you know, particularly in the coronavirus, coming out of the coronavirus, if we're looking at our, you know, the Irish market for our tourists, we have to be able to show that we can do it in a safe manner. And manage people who's using our areas of outstanding natural beauty. So I think there's a job of work about bringing all the agencies together in regards to that. I know this isn't in the detail we're discussing now, but I suppose it is managing areas of outstanding natural beauty, and the likes of the Mourns is managed by the Mourne Areas Trust. But there's a greater need for, you know, the National Trust, Police Council, DFI Roads, forestry, all them organisations, and even indeed TransLink had serious problems trying to get buses up and down the road at the Bloody Bridge. You know, so there's a number of issues there that need to be resolved moving forward. So I would like to see some sort of paper coming in regards to how we're going to tackle these problems. I know Connor and Maria and them got cones out to the various areas, but in a way it was at times too late. There was nobody to manage even the cones. You know, they were moving the cones in parking anyway. You know, so there's an issue
there. If you're making a proposal, I'll second it, that we bring forward a formal paper as you suggested.
Yeah. Happy enough for that, Chair. And just on the geopark, I think it is important to get the message out that the geopark does not have implications for the farming community. And it does, and Councillor Mulgrew has already mentioned that there's no implications on planning either. You know, so we need to get that message out to the local communities.
Okay. I'm going to take Councillor Hannan had indicated he wanted to speak, so I'll take Councillor Hannan, and then there was a proposal and a second from Councillor Clark and Councillor Riley, and then but the original proposal, there's an agenda item, was proposed by, I think, Councillor Mulgrew and Councillor Larkin, so I'm not sure what sort of running order that takes in, but I'll take in Councillor Hannan first.
Chair, just on that, could I ask Jonathan, are they proposing to engage any more with the farmers and in particular the farmers, because I tell you, I know there's a lot of resentment over this GO park. There's massive issues with them. They've just turned around. It's almost become a national park issue again, so I do. And just in what Councillor Riley and Councillor Clark said, there is a massive issue now getting, with parking, access to the mountains, all that there, so there is. And, we do need to manage it in some form now, so we do. So, but Councillor Riley and Councillor Clark are saying that it does need to be done. And if we're going to back this GO park, we do need to do a lot more work on this to make it acceptable, even to the ordinary residents. It isn't even in the farming community. Oh. We do need to do all this.
Can I come in on that, Chair?
Mr. Mallon, please do.
Around the sort of the current circumstances which have evolved from the COVID relaxation of the travelling restrictions and people making their way to our tourism attractions in their numbers. Probably fueled by the very good weather. We are setting up a multi-agency meeting in the coming days, if not next week, with all interested parties and stakeholders in the Mourne's area to look at how we can work collaboratively and collectively together to manage the location better and try and get a better joined up approach and a better approach to how we can ensure that people can visit the area in a safe manner, but visit in a respectful manner, both in respect of the residents and the environment that they're coming to visit. So that's something that we have pulled together from the council. We're initiating that meeting with a group across all of our stakeholders, including Mourne Heritage Trust, Mourne Mountain Rescue, PSNI, TransLink, DFI, National Trust, and a forestry service. So that's something that we're pulling together as soon as we possibly can to try and deal with the current situation. And hopefully it'll be a structure that'll be there for the future as well, once things quieten down a bit more. With regards to the geopark and the discussion with Ulster Farmers Union, we do get significant correspondence from the Ulster Farmers Union on the geopark. We have had even approaches from the BBC around having debates with Ulster Farmers Union on the geopark issue. We have provided numerous responses to press queries around the status of a geopark, which I think, as I think it was Councillor Clark said, you know, the national park thing, and it maybe has masked the geopark, and they're two totally different things. And we are trying very hard and as often as we possibly can to try and separate the two, and to try and to make that distinction between a geopark and a national park. And I think if the geo wasn't ended with a park, if it was called a geo something else, I think it may not be as big an obstacle to us. But listen, we're working away with it, and we're trying to react to all the queries and the questions that are posed, and hopefully we can change the mindsets, but it's not going to be easy.
Connor. Chairman, can I ask Connor on that point?
Councillor Clark, does that suffice your proposal there that Mr. Mallon has sort of indicated that this work is ongoing and is coming back to?
As long as we have a paper brought back from the meeting, I think there should be Mourne's councillor's representation on that, you know, because a number of the issues are in the Mourne's, you know, so. Okay. We should be involved in, but a paper from that meeting then with recommendations needs to be brought before this committee.
Is that okay, Mr. Mallon?
Yep, that's yep. Fine. Yep.
Is that okay? Does that suffice you now, Mr. Riley, too?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Mr. Councillor Burgess indicated one last question. Then we do want to move on. So, Councillor Burgess?
Could I just ask Connor, why did the farmers, Ulster Farmers Union, not object to the Fermanagh Park and their object strongly here?
I think we need to ask them that.
So that's slightly off topic. And Councillor Burgess has indicated, and I do want to take him in for the sake of equity. So, Mr. Burgess, Councillor Burgess?
Chair, from I indicated I was going to speak there. Connor answered some of the questions. But okay. I think the sooner the council meets with the Farmers Union, the better. Because I can tell you at the minute, it is going nowhere, because I'm chair of County Down County Committee, and I can tell you there's a lot of the farmers up round Linhanna that's very unhappy at the minute.
And the parking issue isn't helping the farmers anything as well, because they can only see more problems coming to the moors and to the mountain. So you're going to they're going to have to tread very easily, because at the moment the farmers are getting very angry. And I think, Connor, we need to set up a meeting with the union sooner rather than later, like this week, because I tell you what, the kettle's boiling. And I'll leave it in that chair.
Thank you. Michael Savage has, Mr. Savage, Councillor Savage has indicated he wants to come in. We'll take this as the last one, Councillor Savage.
No, it's just really an observation. I've had representation made to me as well in relation to this, and I think there's it's more of an information digestion process. It's not going down well, and I have every sympathy with what Connor is trying to outline. I think there is huge confusion between the national park and the geopark, and that some farmers are thinking it's the same thing, because some of the rhetoric that I'm getting in messages to me is really a regurgitation of what was put out there at the time that the national park proposals were out there, about maintenance of land, people walking on your land, not being able to do everything, planning restrictions. I think we have a significant job to do in relation to, from an outreach perspective, to get that message firmly across, and I would be thinking that we may need to look, as part of that document that Willie and Henry have proposed, that engagement is central to that. And I agree with what Robert is saying in relation to Ulster Farmers Union. As one of the farming stakeholders in the area, we need to ensure that people get the message, get the detail, and understand what we're trying to advocate here and the positive nature of it, because there is confusion, and they can see the same fears and the same thread of fears coming through in some of the correspondence that I've received. So that's my observation from outside the DEA, but having contact regularly with people within it.
Okay. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, Chair. Yeah, just that, you know, in fairness to Council, we did hold public meetings where all these issues were laid out on the table, and I don't know where this has come from now, but if you are holding a meeting with the Farmers Union, I suggest then you also hold a meeting with the other agricultural organisation, the APA, as well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor.
Okay, just to complete, just to finish off, we're happy to continue with our meetings with the Ulster Farmers Union and all stakeholders with respect to the geopark, and we're more than happy to pick them up and proceed with more and additional meetings as necessary.
Okay, Councillor Burgess, can your point be made through correspondence with one of the council officers? Would that be okay, just to try and draw this item to a close, Councillor Burgess?
Yeah, I think so, but I have also been in contact with Sean Clark, belonging to NAIAPA. He's the chair of NAIAPA. And yes, there's been an ongoing conversation between NAIAPA and the union on this, because it is a problem. And okay. I think that the both unions should be meeting at the same time, because it's affecting the farmers in the mountains at the moment.
Well, I think that message has been well put across to the council officer. So, scrolling back up here, I see Councillor Mulgrew, are you happy to propose? Councillor Mulgrew.
Sorry, Chair. Happy to propose, yep.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Mulgrew. And I have it here that Councillor Larkin was happy to second.
Yes, Chair. Happy to second.
Thank you. And all the other comments were noted, and Mr. Mallon will enact them. Is that happy to move on then? Okay. Moving on to item number 9, which is the Economist report regarding free ports consultation, and Mr. Mallon is to take this one. Thank you.
Okay, this report is to seek council approval to proceed with completing an economic report with respect to a collaborative response to a free ports consultation for Warrenport Port. We propose engaging with Ulster University through our existing arrangement for them to partner with us, Newry Chamber, the local businesses, and Warrenport Port to create an economic development report that will supplement any submission. So as recommendation 3.1 in the report, seeking that we approve the recommendation and proceed with this piece of work. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, so I'm going to take Councillor McAteer in first. I see that Councillor Hannah has indicated the proposal. We'll take in Councillor McAteer in first. Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thank you, Conor, for that. Yeah, I just want to. I mean, there's a couple of aspects I want to just tease out. It just talks in 3.1 as Warren Point Port and Hinterland could operate as a free port, and just what is meant by that. I know what Warren Point Port is, obviously, but the Hinterland. The second part is that could you just illustrate any discussion there's been already about how this would impact with regard to with withdrawal agreement Northern Ireland Protocol and the potential there to disrupt this because of a free port here. You know, I'm kind of worried about this in the whole context. I know this measure was proposed in the early days following the referendum, you know, but things have taken a different course since that. So I wouldn't want to prejudice any trade that would be accruing from the NI protocol. So could I have just a question about that?
Yeah, personally around the hinterland, the hinterland will not just, will extend beyond, I think, for the boundary of the port, which it says that a free port would not just be limited to the boundaries of the port as it is at the minute. So it could extend out into industrial zones and industrial areas which would be detached from the free port where manufacturing may occur and where they may benefit from a free port status in Warren Point where the goods could be coming in through the free port and imported through and exported back out through it. I think maybe Marie may want to come in and provide some more detail around the free port element. Marie, are you happy to come in?
Yeah, okay, Chair, with your indulgence. I suppose the free port is what we're doing at the minute is just responding to a consultation. So this piece of work is looking at the potential economic benefits or challenges related to that. So we're in line with other areas submitting consultation responses. We will come back to committee again then to make a judgment as to whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing to do to submit an application when it comes to that point for Freeport. We're very conscious of the Northern Ireland Protocol and indeed are working very closely with the port on that and with DERA, etc. So I think this initial piece of work is to understand any potential benefits that there may be from Freeport, and then it will come back to committee about making a decision as to whether we want to make a joint application for Freeport status along with Warren Point Port and indeed possibly further afield if depending on what work we do with, for example, the likes of Belfast through the Belfast Region City deal. So it is the initial studies at this point.
Just to finish off, Councillor McAteer, around Brexit. Brexit will be front and centre in any economic study where we're looking at the impacts both of a free port, and Brexit will be front and centre and will form a very important element in trying to, first of all, trying to predict what Brexit's going to look like. And if we're going to get a trade deal for a start, which is, again, is not decided yet. So it's a lot of projections and a lot of predicting, and probably, as the term within Brexit has been all along, is the worst, the reasonable worst case. But Brexit will be front and centre in any analysis and any report that comes forward.
Thank you, Ms. Ward and Mr. Mallon. The consultation will shed a bit of light on that. I have Councillor Hannah willing to propose. Councillor Hannah, can you confirm you're going to propose?
Chair, I'm happy to propose the officer's recommendation, and to be quite honest with you, this is a massive opportunity, and the council does need to be in this up to the neck, to put it that way. They do need to be involved in this year because it is for the Warren Point and the Hinterland, and I am assuming, Marie, that the Hinterland you would be sort of stretching it if possible to, as far as Newry. So there is massive implications for this year and opportunities and all this. So there is. So I'm happy to propose, and with being on the board of Warren Point Harbour Authority, I know there's a meeting or a workshop this week, so there is about which will an awful, make a massive difference to what's going to maybe take place. So I'm happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you. We do need a seconder. Is anyone willing to second the recommendations?
I'll second that, Chairman.
Thank you. So Henry Riley, Councillor Riley has seconded it. Are we content to move on? Okay. So now we're getting into exempt items. So item 10, item 11, and item 12. Item 10 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may be by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So if I could call for proposer and seconder to go into closed session.
Proposed, Chair.
So proposed. Second, Chair.
Okay. I didn't quite get that in order, but I see Councillor Savage is first on the message, so he's proposed, and Declan McAteer has seconded on the messenger. So bear with him here. Sarah, is it okay to come out of closed session then?
I'm just trying to invite the press back in just to see if any of them are still on the call.
Yeah. Can who propose to come out of closed session? Just for the records.
So proposed, Chair.
Donald Burgess proposed. The seconder to come out of closed session.
I'll second that, Chairman.
Yes, I.
Okay, so we'll take it as Councillor Burgess and Councillor Riley.
No, the press don't seem to be online anymore, so they must have just left the meeting.
Okay. Sarah, could my note-taking probably isn't quite as accurate as your note-taking. Will you have the names of the proposal and the second for the items in closed session?
Louise,
sorry, I do apologise. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Okay. One point back, we have Councillor McAteer proposed, seconded by Councillor Tinley.
Okay.
I think it was just the officer's recommendations, basically.
Yeah.
Item 11, Newcastle Harbour, it was proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Hannah, subject to including that structural review be carried out. Item 12, mountain bike trails, it was proposed by Councillor Tinley and seconded by Councillor McAteer. It was the officer's recommendations, which report I actually don't have in front of me here.
No, that's okay. I can read those out now. Item number 10, 1 point bars. On the proposal, am I okay to continue, Sarah? Sorry, I'm not speaking out of turn here.
No, we go.
No, okay, yeah. Sorry, on the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Tinley, it was agreed Council formally concludes the current EOI process and officer review the above options and bring forward recommendations on the options outlined above item 10, Warren Point Baths. Item number 11, Newcastle Harbour lease of slipway. on the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Tinley. It was agreed. The council leased the upper portion of the slipway from Newcastle Yacht Club at a peppercorn rent for a term of 8 years, expiring in April 2028, to join both portions, with council responsible for the entire slipway to continue to permit access for locals and visitors alike.
I've seconded that there, Chairman.
Did I not say that? Councillor Clark and Councillor Hannah? Yeah. Sorry. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Hannah, the council leaves up a portion of the slipway from Newcastle Yacht Club at a peppercorn rent for a term of 8 years, expiring April 2028, to join both portions, with council responsible for the entire slipway to continue to permit access for locals, visitors like, on account of structural review. And then item number 12, review of mountain bike trails, on the proposal of Councillor Tinley and seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed that two downhill mountain bike trails in Rostrevor remain closed until August 2020, when the mountain bike review is considered by Council. And is that okay?
Yep.
So thank you very much.
You just need to then do your for noting items.
Sorry, for noting items, of course, yeah, getting ahead of myself. So items 13, Tourism Support Programme, item 14, Regeneration Projects, item 15, Update regarding Business Support Programme, item number 16, Update regarding Rural Development Programme, 17, Update regarding Sea Flag, 19, Planning Performance Figures, 20, Building Control, 21, Licensing, and 22, Historic Action Seat. Okay, I think I'll take in Councillor Stokes regarding 19 and 20.
Can I come in, sorry, Councillor?
We're
happy to pick up individually with any councillors who have any questions
okay.
or queries around for noting
sure,
items.
Is that okay, Mr. Stokes?
I wouldn't mind, Chair. I think it's sort of important. I think there's a couple of questions. Well, I think where the point I'm coming from, Chair, and I think everyone will agree, Chair, that our building control and our planning departments have a key role now, particularly on helping business bounce back in terms of COVID, that we really need to be providing a first-class responsive service to businesses trying to get back up and going again. So I suppose the two questions I had, Chair, one was related to both the building control and planning. It was really, do we currently survey the satisfaction of the users of those services? And I think if we're not doing that, it's something we should seriously have a look at. And the second question, really specifically on building control, Chair, are we statutory bound to send notices out hard copy and in paper? Because I understand that's the state of play at the moment. And that, in fact, so if we're posting out material to the users of this building control service, then they're going into empty offices. But have we the potential to go take those, learn the lessons of COVID and take those over onto email? One that would speed up the response rate from the council, and also it would obviously save us money, Chair, not having to physically post things out. As I say, at the minute we're posting things out to empty offices where people having to go in and collect posts and take it back home again. So it's just on that really, if anybody wanted to pick up on those, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Mallon, are you content to get back to Mr. Stokes, or do you want to answer Mr. Stokes now?
I think Collie Jackson can respond around the building control, responding electronically and accepting information electronically. Collie, can you come in on that, please?
Yes, thanks, Connor. Yeah, in relation to accepting applications, basically, we have no facility to accept hard copy applications at the minute. But what we can do is accept applications for bit notices and for regularisation applications. We can facilitate those online. The other applications, we need hard copy plans. But it seems to be working very well for the vast majority of architects. We don't seem to have any issues with them. We do forward our BR3s, our receipts, all that, all documentation is forwarded to the architects via email, with the exception of the actual approval itself, because the architects need a hard copy stamped approved drawing for conveyancing purposes.
Okay, can I just, Chair, pick up on the assessment of customer satisfaction? I think we're in regular receipt of customer opinions, both positive and sometimes negative, on our performance. There's not a huge amount of feedback that we get from our customers, but it's something that we can consider going forward, is around adopting a customer satisfaction survey for both our planning department and our building control department, if that's what members would find of use. And we will probably find it of use ourselves in looking at areas and where places where we can improve. So happy to take that forward.
Is that content, you, Councillor Stokes? Yeah, great. Councillor Hannah, you've indicated you want to have a question.
Just Connor, a question for yourself on item 17, C flag. There appears to be huge issues at the moment there, in that applications have nearly collapsed at the minute, so they have, and the C flag appeared to be going to have to return huge amount of money, so and I think it's going to go to Scotland. I think I'll have to speak to you on the phone, so I will, simply because there's between 40 and 80 applications that have just been wiped out, so they have at the stroke of a pen. I don't know if you're aware of this, by an issue that's come up in there, so I need somebody to explain to me what has happened.
Okay, I can pick that up with you.
All right, Connor.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Hannah. Thank you, Mr. Mallon. And finally, Councillor Savage. Yep. You want to come in?
Yes, Chair, thanks very much. Connor, really, it's just coming on the back of some of the issues that were raised in relation to getting back to business effectively on the back of COVID-19. I know there's a lot of public health authority advice out there for businesses, and businesses are making alterations and preparing, particularly within the hospitality sector, which is a key component of our local economy here. But it was raised with me by a prominent member in UE Chamber in relation to the ongoing plans that are out there for people to queue, particularly on shops and retail outlets that are of on-street access. And there was a question raised that they were having difficulty getting answers on, was who is publicly liable if somebody trips or falls or has an accident or something happens to them when they're queuing outside those shops? Does it fall in any way on the business premises, or does public liability insurance from government sources cover that? It's an issue that's become a bit concerning for some of the smaller outlets who can only maybe allow two or three people into their premises at a time and have to rely on queuing outside the door. So it's just something that we're looking a bit of clarity on, if you could maybe shed any light on that, Connor. Thank you.
It's not something that I've prepared an answer for, and it's something I'll have to pick up with you, because I don't have all the answers, and I don't have the answers to that, but I'm sure between myself and the other members of the team within the business support, we can come back to you.
Thanks, Connor. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mallon. Thank you, Hans Savage. So those items noted, and then on mine, it is just item number 23 or 24, Relaunch Business and Industry Summit, for noting. Is that okay to be noted? Everyone content?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. And that brings the meeting to a close, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe Sarah will correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much, councillors. Okay. Cheers now.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Well done, Andy.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.